And welcome to Endercast, more fun than a game of boogers and astronauts. Today is Saturday, July 20th, 2013, and you are listening to episode 24, Return to Battle School. I'm your host, Crystal from EnderWigan.net, here with my co-host, Kelly from EnderNews.com. Say hi, Kelly.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so we have a lot of special guests because we're still at Comic-Con, so we're going to have them introduce themselves rather than us giving a long list, and we're going to start with Aramis Knight.
I'm Aramis Knight, and I play Bean in the upcoming movie Ender's Game.
I'm Jimmy Pinchak, and I play Peter Wigan.
I'm Suraj Partha, and I play Ally.
I'm Cameron Gaskins, I play Paul Slattery.
I'm Kylan Rambo, and I play Dink Meeker.
I'm Connor Carroll, and I play Bernard.
I'm Brandon Sue, and I play Flymolo.
I'm Caleb Dagger, and I play Stilson.
All right.
So here we go. I still am really hoarse, so like the last episode was like that as well. So we're here at Comic-Con. You guys have gone through the Ender's Game experience. What did you guys think about that?
It was dope.
So crazy.
Yeah. really surpassed my expectations.
A bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
It was so cool to like see the props that we actually worked with on set every day, to see them.
It's like a
weird open to the public and everything.
It was like crazy. It was such a walk down memory lane. Like I went in there, I was like, oh, I remember that day. Remember that.
Deja vu.
Good. Yeah, it was a lot of deja vu.
Good memories, but mostly bad.
Yeah.
Mostly. Does it make you miss it? Or are you guys like, oh,
I'm so going much. To go back?
So much. Really nostalgic going.
Yeah, the other day I was thinking about it in my room. It was just one of those kind of lazy days, and I had my music on, and I was thinking like, oh, and I like almost cried. I missed it so much. So I was like, oh, dang, I'm not going to do that anymore.
But for me, it was great because I never saw any of the stuff, any of the battle room stuff.
Yeah,
so for me,
it was
pretty cool because now I kind of know what to expect from the movie. Because I saw the sketches and everything, but I actually saw the actual... the guns and the suits and the chairs. So.
You were in a house all day.
I was in a house. I was in a very nice house.
In the experience, you did get to see like the Wigan family house. And,
right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That was pretty cool because who's doing like the promo of like HGTV? It had like a whole the outside of Ender's house.
I was excited to see that everyone else was excited. Like
right.
See you walking down the street with
so enthusiastic.
You know, always such a long line to get into.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah. It was kind of surreal to think that like we were all a part of it.
It was
I know it's even weird for me because I'll be just walking around just to hear someone behind me say Ender's Game.
Exactly.
It's like
it's
blows my mind.
It's so amazing.
I don't know, like I grew up thinking that book was like it was like a personal thing for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anyone else was reading it, so now it's just like
walking.
I went back today and like I was in line with my cousin and we started talking about the book and people surrounding us started jumping into the conversation because they had all read the book too. So
it's a popular book.
Yeah.
I was in the elevator coming up from the after the autograph signing, we were coming up, and there's these like three or four guys talking about the movie, and I was kind of listening in, and they were so stoked for it. It was like, oh, I didn't even read the book yet, but I'm gonna get, you know, start getting into
it.
So, it's good that it's now it's kind of gone outside people who've read the book.
That's what I really love.
Yeah, walking by, I hear like three or four times, oh, Ender's Game, it's all good, it's all, oh, I can't wait, he's a great character. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome just to hear all the people. So
and I think with the team that we have behind us, I think we're gonna execute it pretty well.
We got the best in the business.
Did you guys all take pictures sitting in the shuttle seats? Because I went today and they had blocked it off. Nobody
We were walking through and it was so weird. Like some people recognized us from IMDb pages and stuff. So some of the guys that were working the event with the flight suits on and everything wanted to take some pictures with us. And then the people in line were like, oh, those guys are in the movie. So we just sort of started this thing. And so we did get a couple of pictures in the seats before they had to close them down and everything. It was so cool.
It's kind of crazy for me because I'm right in that stage where I'm changing a lot. So like a year ago, I was way different than I was from. Right? Yeah,
what?
It's called puberty.
Yeah,
what?
I was about to say, that stage where I'm changing.
Well, I was standing by the Bean launchy suit that's there, and the guy's literally looking at the picture, and I'm standing there. And he looks at me and literally does not say anything. Just passes by, doesn't even notice me.
Wait,
and he was literally just looking at
so
the picture. It was so funny.
Though.
You had a problem yesterday.
You're
used to it probably, but I was laughing so hard. You were in the experience. This woman goes up to Brandon and she's like, these are like actual set. You know, from like a movie set where they actually film movies.
You guys excited
these
for the movie?
Are from the actual movie.
Yeah.
Really?
No, wait. Wait, was Harrison Ford in this
movie?
Yeah.
I'm that guy.
Exactly.
I like the people they hired. Like, you walk from room to room and they tell you certain things. Like, I walked into the Gate B room and the girl was like, how is training?
Welcome to battle school.
I got to look at like the costumes that all the sort of like stagehands were wearing, and it was actually like the actual costumes that most of the extras wore on set. Like,
I guess, I mean, the whole production team, I mean, they did such a great job making it very realistic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
very
yeah.
much
so
I mean,
much
it's
love
it's exactly,
and thought behind it, you can tell.
Well, and I mean,
that
I mean,
project
like,
took like 3 months to put together,
yeah.
3 months of prep.
Right. And yeah. I mean, we know like that it was real. I mean, like, we look at the stuff and like, yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, so making it realistic, making it exactly what we saw, that was really cool to have people have almost the same experience.
Yeah, actually, one of the workers that was working in there told me that they were on like planning and like sketches and things like that, and then they actually didn't start building until last Saturday.
Building what?
So they started Saturday, and on Friday it was fully functional and up and ready.
They were tweeting pictures of the process, and I was like, I'm sorry, you guys just started putting that up.
It's crazy.
It doesn't even look like it. It looked like they had it for the longest.
Yeah.
Seriously, it looks like it's just a permanent thing now.
It's a San Diego monument.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. To Ender's Game.
The Seven Wonders of the World.
Yeah.
This thing's going to be mobile. They're taking this to other places.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard.
Can they swing by Temple City too?
Back to LA.
They probably have that gate at the premiere, right?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
They can't get rid of that gate. It's
kind
of iconic.
Yeah,
how sick
is
that?
It's literally the source of
my
turn. The enemy is
Yeah. I want to just take some of that stuff and just put it in my house. Like, I was in that movie! I'm being!
Take it to the store.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Set it in the middle of my room.
Build like a little shrine.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of thought that they would, like recreate, like, a bigger version, but I'm guessing it's a real thing because I banged my knee on it.
Yes.
What?
It's very real.
Solid. Yeah. Well, I remember when we, like, last year, they were talking about like preserving it and taking it like to Comic-Con. I guess they really just kept it somewhere.
Yeah, the memories on that thing were kind of good and bad because we were on wires for so long.
Oh, yeah,
that
was things. That
where
was
it's
hard
like,
work.
I remember
such
when I was doing
work.
This move and this
yeah.
move and
yeah,
how
no,
badly
no,
my
no.
hips were hurting.
Everyone
was
listening
is
going to feel so bad for you guys.
Yeah.
No, but it was a good pain, I guess. I mean, we were making something amazing.
That's why we're hired,
right?
Right. Yeah.
It's like an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Our body telling us we did a good job.
Yeah. So we filmed the flash shoots, and I talked to Christine today, and I asked her how she cleaned it, and she mentioned that she made you guys wear something under it.
Oh, yeah. We wore
yeah.
like a full
and
under
she put baby powder,
yeah,
like black moisture.
A lot of baby powder.
Yeah, and they put a lot of baby powder
yeah,
all over us for some awkward, weird reason.
They smelled amazing.
Yeah, we smelled very good.
We smelled fantastic.
Like babies.
It's like a baby.
Sweaty exactly.
Sweating was, like, not fun.
No, it wasn't.
The helmet, I remember, would fog up
God.
All the
oh,
time.
Yeah.
Those were
the
like
only,
a fishbowl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The only good thing was that there were these fans that,
yeah.
like,
but we had to turn
them
off
during the and they wouldn't even reach, like, the whole part of your head.
Just
they would
the
just
back of your
cool
neck.
The back
yeah.
of your neck.
There was actually a few times. There was a few times with the extras and actually with, I think, a few of us where we would get lightheaded, actually, and actually, like, be like, whoa, what is this?
I'm so glad I never experienced
Jimmy's just sitting here going like
whoa.
That.
Okay,
Peter.
Sure, you know, relaxing, watching TV.
Yeah.
I heard the horror stories. So.
Yeah.
Jimmy and I got to chill out in air conditioned rooms.
Yeah. Oh, that.
So
yeah, exactly.
No,
that couch wasn't uncomfortable.
So, how long was your filming?
The filming was like, I don't know, a week and a half, but I was there for. Because they had me do the military training and the stunt training, even though I wasn't in any of the battle school stuff. So, I was there for like. Altogether, about 5 weeks, which was a lot more than I spent shooting.
I remember one scene that was such a learning day for for me as an actor. When I was watching Jimmy and Asa, which are obviously older and more developed, and there's one scene where there's actually like a stunt and an actual like kind of like a throwdown or whatever, and it was just a scene where it was like, wow.
Everyone always
like,
asks about that.
That's when I knew this movie was like the real deal.
Right.
Is when I saw that scene.
Legit.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember that day. I was like, "Wow, they are good."
Yeah, that was probably the funnest scene I've ever shot.
Oh yeah, I remember them practicing, and I was like, "Oh, that's gonna be cool."
We
and
were practicing one stunt
like,
for 4
wow.
weeks. You know, it was just like
no, it was really tough because
yeah.
it was like a combination you'd
yeah.
see in like a video game or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and so like you guys did it yourself. There's no stunt doubles, or I mean, obviously at some point they had to throw someone else in. But
right.
For
yeah.
The most part.
Yeah, I think there are certain parts. Like, I don't want to get way too much,
no,
but
no.
when you know. Ender was, being choked mm-hmm. or something like that. They want, it was just because it's really interesting because when you're choking somebody, if you're not really choking them, you can kind of tell. So they had to,
close-up needed to be.
And that just to make it safe. That was like the first week of shooting, so I don't think they wanted Ender to break his neck.
Can I just say, I love that scene? Because a couple of things went wrong because, like, a cameraman stepped on my hand.
But guys.
I couldn't move my hand.
Oh my god.
It wasn't shooting, it was rehearsing. And I'm like,
I think this is starting to sound a little bit more violent.
I know.
Yeah. That's intense.
It was all in good scene making.
Yes. It's method acting.
All the guys are healed by now, right? You guys are okay.
Yes, of course.
No permanent damage.
Other than the broken leg.
Okay, so we were talking about stunts. When we were on set, we got to meet Garrett. He was really fun to talk to. What did you guys think about working with him?
He's just awesome. Yeah. Really,
he was someone to look up to for all of us.
Really,
yeah.
He's an iron cyclops.
He really, Connor, yeah, seriously. Yeah. Connor pointed this out a couple of times, like, wow, you really got life down. You know what's up.
Yeah.
Like, we need advice, let's go to you, because you got it down.
He's a great guy all around.
Yeah, all around, great family guy.
And he made us really look like,
he made us feel like soldiers.
He is a master of his craft.
He really cared about teaching.
Yeah, that's what I love.
Yeah, it wasn't just about the moves. It was about, like, understanding why you're doing it. I know Garrett because my neighbor is a stunt coordinator. We've been playing Thanksgiving football for like the last 10 years together. Yeah. So I know how crazy he could be when it comes to like being physical. I'd be 8 years old and he'd be like slamming me down on the grass and stuff. So
it toughened me up. We
did. Yeah, we won last year. Yeah, we beat them. Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. My favorite part of the movie, this goes back to just what an awesome crew and Gavin and Garrett and all of them we had. There was real life situations on set because that really made you feel like your character. You're like, wow, if you think about it, what my character has to go through, I'm going through right now.
Right.
So for them to put us in that situation, and you know us, I think there's 7 or 8 of us that were there. We all had to bond, and I was always the youngest, and I was always the underdog, and I always had to prove myself. And that's exactly how being is. So it was just crazy for all of us to be put in that and really learn our characters off of real life.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun just for the sake of separating the book from the movie if you guys especially people your character, if you guys could say a few words, what is your character like in the film? Because we know the Eli of the book, we know the Flymo of the book. No spoilers, just give us an idea. You can start, Brandon. Flymo, what kind of character is that? What are we doing?
Alright, originally, I'm kind of similar to in the book, I'm kind of Bonesaw's lackey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of his underling. And soon I realized that, that Ender is my higher up, and I started to respect him as, a smarter guy, a more powerful leader. And he obviously doesn't play as much of a significant role in the film as in the book, because, he actually wasn't originally in the script. They wrote him in afterwards. So, but yeah, he basically plays the same character.
I think as a lie, I think Gavin did a great job of as far as writing the script and writing in the characters, sort of preserving how they are in the book.
Yeah.
To really,
keeping it very true.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really true to the book, which I thought was amazing.
Different.
To go read the book and then read the script right after and be like, all right, this is generally the same stuff.
Yeah.
And as far as my character goes, I think that I definitely share a friendship with Ender. Maybe even something more than a friendship, as far as just almost like a brotherly kind of love. I mean, it was really amazing. All right, okay.
All right.
Well, okay. Reaction's ruined it. Now we're going to have to edit.
Okay. Okay,
all right,
okay.
Yeah, he did. Nobody else.
You know what? This doesn't need editing. You know what I mean.
Okay.
You know what he means.
So, I think it was great. Sort of, I guess me and Asa being able to work off each other and sort of have that relationship, at least, for the time that we did those sorts of scenes. So I really enjoyed it.
The relationships we had outside of the set helped us so much intense scenes. It really helped a lot.
I think for Dink, my personal character, I think that the way he was actually, he's an honorable, respectable guy because he was Ender's higher up initially, but then he was prideless to where he let him take control and he knew his place and he was a team player. There's multiple times where you see that. There's a couple scenes where I take one for the team.
Yeah, such a trooper.
So, yeah, yeah. So I think that's trooper. Something I really respect about my character, and I think that's kind of like the cool, honorable guy that you'll see in the film. Right.
Cool. Did you get to do that scene where you get to take off the flash suit and just go floating in LG for a while?
Well, no, I did a pretty cool collab scene with Haley, and she, like they shot my legs and like did this.
Spoiler alert!
No, I'm joking. Joking. And like we flew out and she kills people and I just get shot up.
I mean,
it takes a real man. She doesn't kill people.
She freezes people.
People on set started to take bets on like who would live the longest.
Seriously,
you're like not helping the Hunger Games in space comparison. Yeah.
I think as Bean, he's very true to the book. He's, you know, the underdog. As I said before, he's kind of the guy that when the bullies see, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to pick on that kid. And then when they pick on him, suddenly he has the upper hand, and suddenly he is the one bullying the bully. So that's why I loved him so much, because I always loved the underdog. And it was cool just to see how great he was, even though didn't look as great as all the others.
Cameron, what about you? Paul Slattery, that's hard,
Paul
right?
Paul Slattery is a character that kind of got revamped a little bit more in the movie, not really embellished, but just sort of utilized in a different way than he was in the book. Gavin, first day I started filming, told me that Paul Slattery is really supposed to be a halfway point between the leaders that Bonzo is and the leader that Ender is. And so we see sort of a third commander in the battle school that does things. When we first see Bonzo, we see him as this really stubborn, hard-nosed, everything has to be his way, got to be a very... alpha male type deal, but then you see Paul Slattery as a leader that is more understanding of his soldiers, more accepting of defeat, and then that's sort of an easy transition to see what kind of leader that Ender becomes. And so, sort of in a way, Ender sees the leadership that Paul Slattery has and then just sort of improves on it.
Slattery plays such a big role in how Ender ends up being, in the end, the great commander that he is. From taking the best traits of all the other commanders in the battle school and all integrating them into his game and suddenly becoming the perfect commander.
I think Peter also. We would love to hear. That's a hard role. Yes. And you obviously have your own idea of what's going on there.
Peter's my favorite character, by the way. I just want to
that. Peter Wiggin. There we go.
Peter Wiggin.
You know, it's odd because Peter, in the way the script is written, without giving away too much, it really, it made me think before I read the book that Peter was just all evil, and it took a little bit more to read into it to kind of see little subtle lines and touches that displayed his love for his brother, which really wasn't shown through his actions but more through, you know, just little subtleties. So I think that the way Gavin wrote Peter was pretty consistent with the way Peter was portrayed in the book. He made sure that there was a balance between, you know, really beating up his brother, being mean, but also having kind of that deep, like, hope that he would stand up for himself and succeed in some ways that he couldn't. Because it's tough, because Peter, you know, there's the jealousy factor, right? Where, you know, Peter got kicked out and Ender was chosen. And there's also the factor where he still loves his brother and still deep down he wants to see him succeed in some ways. And I think that Gavin did a good job in the script showing that off, so...
I think it's interesting because the characters have been aged up so much, and so there's a difference for like a teenage boy who got kicked out and his younger brother. You know, in the book, you know, they're you know, not even seven. But so there's like a huge all those years he's been like reflecting this is my little brother, and suddenly Ender, you know, gets picked to go off.
Exactly. Yeah. The script else. Because you know I was 16 when we shot it. I can't remember how old then. I think maybe 14 or 15 or something. So there was a lot more complexity then. Oh, you know, you're getting the attention and I'm not.
Right, right.
There had to be, when you age them up, you have to write in. You can't write lines for a 6 or a 7
year old. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You have to write more mature lines. You have to make it a little bit more, the character development has to be more complex.
Right.
And I thought Gavin did a tremendous job doing it and explaining it, too. He really explained it well.
So have you read the books, the Shadow series about Peter?
You know, I've, it's tough because there's like some are, it's, you have to kind of look at, you know, some books were written just the order by year, and then the order of the timeline of the book.
It's complicated.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff happens when he's older, when Peter is, a little bit older. So, he becomes a hegemon, and he becomes all that. But you could see those traits in the movie and the script, just a desire to lead, a desire to do something with his life and not be living at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I just recently started reading the Shadow series, and no offense, I don't really like the bean part, but I really liked Peter's development. Mm-hmm. So I thought Peter's
He's smart. Was, He's really intelligent.
Yeah. Intense.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting characters of all time, I would say.
I'd say the darkness is what really makes him a really interesting character.
I think one of the overarching things, and just to compliment all of your work that you've done, because I remember watching that scene, and
Thank you, sir.
I mean, so much of the work that Asa did, that Jimmy did, that I guess all of us did, is that you see the script and you see lines and dialogue, but even the most subtle things are not expressed in dialogue. They're expressed in facial expressions and just a look of the eye. Those sorts of things, the way that Gavin can bring that out in people. Those are the things, like the book may expand 2-3 pages on a feeling, but Gavin can take 2-3 pages and make it one look.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant.
And
you guys can do that.
And without Gavin, it would have been impossible. Yeah. I mean, he took me aside. It was the first scene that we did, and he just talked to me for 15 minutes about what he envisioned the character, why he went through every single line, explained why he wrote that line, what the purpose was behind every line. And it really works, because when Peter sees something, he sees it completely different, even in the books, than anybody else. He sees the positives, he sees the pros, and he weighs them in his mind, and that's a really intelligent being to be able to do that.
And my favorite memory from Gavin, I think we can all remember a time when he said this to one of us, he would yell, cut, take us aside, give us some direction, and then before we took the next take, he would say, all right, now just forget everything I just said, and just go do it. Because he was all about taking
this
these characters out of a book and bringing them to life in the most natural way possible. Because it's a really, unrealistic setting to be in. We're not really going to be fighting aliens or anything like that, but to just bring out the naturalness and the realistic nature of these characters, it's just the way he directed us was flawless.
Well,
he was
very hands-on director.
Yeah.
Very hands-on.
And it's hard to express that naturalness when you're trying to focus on all these little instructions that a director gives you, and you get caught up in all right, I have to remember, I have to look to the left, and I have to breathe in deep, and it's you have to remember all these little details. It trips you up with the actual focusing on the character himself.
You gotta let the character be.
That's why he says forget everything I just said.
Well, in the editing room, to have those options, to have, okay, I told you to do this, but then to have cuts where just do what you want. I imagine that to incorporate those small
it's
scenes
genius.
And later.
Exactly. Instead of
that, I think I was with Brandon. I don't know. I think Asa was. Yeah. So I don't think you guys were there, but remember the scene where you had to sprain your ankle?
Yeah.
And with the rehearsal of that. Honestly, it was terrible.
It was not feeling terrible.
It was choppy. My lines were over dramatic. Everything about it was just
and I was
just
hurting my ankle.
The extras, they weren't all the way fully in it, and it was just bad, right?
Yeah.
So then Gavin came in, and then he said cut, and then he wasn't yelling, but he was firm, and he was kind of he's like a freaking
what
lion.
What was
He was roaring.
Yeah.
But
Army
what
general.
He was doing, he wasn't yelling at us, but he was literally kind of pushing us in the world of that scene. He was our commander at
and
that
And we
moment.
Didn't even know it until after when we really thought about
it was
how much he manipulated us on set.
And afterwards.
But no, listen. No, it was, he sprained his ankle, and then once he finished his whole rant, he was you got to be there. You got to be in the world that we put, that we created. It was actually a phenomenal scene, and I think that's why Gavin is the key to this movie. I just want to give him his credit.
He's
amazing.
You know why he's so great? It's because as actors, you need some type of, you need to know how you're doing. You could do 5 takes or something, and you could think it's good, but you really don't know how it's coming on the camera. Gavin is so hands-on. He'll tell you if you're doing a good job. He'll tell you if something needs to be fixed. So, because, we have to wait, it's going to be a year and a half to see the movie or something like that. So, it's tough to wait on, did I do a good job? With Gavin, you know where you stand. He tells you if you got it. And I think with him, we all got it. So there's no, at least not for me, I'm confident in him that he got the performance out of everybody that he needed. And that's really important.
Right. Sometimes you're not even sure of yourself sometimes, Every once in a while, as an actor, you're not sure of yourself. But when you hear Gavin say it, you just put your trust in him. And you can trust him to deliver.
Yeah, and Gavin has this sort of unique sort of imagination, and all directors do, to take things that were on a page, written on a page, and sort of put them into the like face of an actor and sort of portray, because it's a lot harder to portray something in a book, I think, than it is on screen and vice versa.
Yeah, I remember where I was filming the scene, still some indoor scene, and we did a couple of takes, and Gavin said, "Caleb, you know what? I want you to look at Ender, and I want you to push him as hard as you can. I want you to do all you can to tick him off." And that's literally what he said, and by the time I get done with that, I thought Asa wanted to kill me. And I was like, "Dude, are you cool?" He's like, yeah, I'm cool, man, I'm good. And like, we hugged it out, but at that moment, I was like, okay, this is how you get into this. All right, let's do it.
Okay, guys, I think we're going to have to, like, wrap this up pretty soon. Okay. Any last words? Anyone got anything to say?
Ender's game is awesome. How about that? November. 2013.
Yeah, we're going to work on that.
Start Twitter.
We have to find who originally started that, because they get some, like,
money.
We can just say it was my idea. It's not a big deal.
We'll find out. We'll look.
Cameron said it.
All right, guys. No, well, like, thank you guys so much for coming on here.
Thank you, brother.
You're good.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. Cool.
See ya.
All right. So, we apologize for the audio issues. There's like a slight hum in the audio of that podcast. I guess the microphone was picking up the humming of my laptop on the table that we were doing, and we were like sitting around this tiny little table in a hotel like ballroom area outside. So. But, I mean, that was, like, seriously the funniest podcast we've ever done.
It was so
fun.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we were really concerned because we were going to try to schedule everybody, like, two or three at a time. Mm-hmm. And we thought, oh, God, you know, they're going to talk over each other. It's going to be, like, this crazy boy fest. But they did, like, an awesome job. And I think, I just had so much fun. I don't know what to say.
I mean, I was worried, you know. I was like, Kelly, how are we going to podcast with 8 guests at a time?
It worked out.
Yeah. It worked out perfectly.
So good. I would love to do it again. Like, it's great. A great
Why
don't
you arrange another one?
Yeah.
Anyway, we are going to head home tomorrow, so that's it for us at Comic-Con. Anything else to say? Any last words?
I'm just like really thankful to all of the parents and agents and everybody son of who, like, you know, who's cool with us, you know, trust us enough mm-hmm. to like sit down with them and not, you know, ruin everything and, you know, trust us not to include spoilers, which we're gonna, you know, the boys are really good too, so it's just, it was a fun time, and I'm really appreciative of the opportunity, actually, so.
Yeah, I mean, meeting them was really, really, really nice, and everybody was really awesome with us, and thank you to Kelly for spending all that time working and arranging everything.
Just a couple emails.
That's okay. But, yeah, so, we hope you guys have enjoyed our Comic-Con podcast. You can catch all our past episodes on www.endercast.com. You can find us on iTunes. Please follow us on Twitter at @EGEndercast and follow us on Facebook at @EGEndercast as well. And that's it from Comic-Con. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye, everybody.